Yes, Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you with a verse from Peter. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Lord, we just rejoice in this lively hope that we can have. So I just ask you, bless Brother John here. I've known him for many years, Lord. You just bless him and give him words to speak that we might all grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus. Good to be here with you all again. After being gone so many years, you feel like you lose connection, which you do somewhat, but there's still many brothers that are dear to my heart. So, Lord bless you all. And many of you are little children. Now you're growing up and taking, you're in the place where we once stood, you know. My wife and I were just talking recently, you know, that we come out to visit our parents and they're getting older and in their 60s and 70s, and 20 years we're going to be there. So time has a way of slipping on. And so, but our goal is to be ready for that day. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6 for a text, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." We just heard a children's lesson on not mocking. Here it says, "God's also not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So this morning, the Lord has laid on my heart to share a message on sowing and reaping. And I just want to share in this passage, it's getting the time of the year where many of you are thinking of putting a garden out. It's springtime, the time of planting and sowing. It's not the time of reaping. The time of reaping is past, right? But it's not that way in the spiritual life. It's continually sowing and reaping. You gardeners, you buy these little packets of seed. I mean, they're pretty small, and it looks like there's barely anything in it, right? And you buy a packet of seed for to put in your garden, say a little packet of sweet corn or whatever. But you put that little packet in the ground, and it produces way more than what you put into the ground. That little packet, it produces humongous, huge amounts compared, if you do the comparison of that little packet that you buy to put in your garden. You usually end up with way more than that little packet you sowed or that you planted. On a good year, this little packet of sweet corn of two packets will normally, we as a family, we can enjoy a couple fresh meals and yet put abundance away to have all winter long, because that's the law of sowing and reaping. You farmers, some of you are also thinking of getting ready to do planting. It's a time of the year that you're thinking about it. But you buy this 50-pound bag of seed, and it produces huge grain bins full, one bushel. How's that possible? It's the law of sowing and reaping. God gives us these natural things that we can see to understand spiritual things. And this morning, I want to just share on this passage. Our scripture says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Deceived is thinking I can buy this little packet of red beets and get corn out of it. Deceived is thinking I can get sweet corn from this pack of peas that I plant. That's deceived. But deceived is also thinking I can get frustrated and angry and not reap. Deceived is also thinking I can mess around with sin and not reap. We heard this morning of David, and I'm going to be sharing some more on David also. We cannot get away from the law of sowing and reaping. Look at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, does it say that could he reap or that might he reap? It says he shall reap. Verse 8 again, it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It doesn't say you could or that you might, but you shall. It's a given thing that you shall reap. Not just might, not just could, but you shall. And it says that God is not mocked. If you think any different, you know, we heard about mocking. You're mocking God. God's word is true. God's word is final. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And so, verse 8 here, we have two reapings mentioned. We have corruption and life everlasting. Corruption means to bring to a worse condition. Example, if you bury someone, their body after their burial is brought to a worse condition. That's what corruption means here. If we sow to the flesh, your life will be brought to a worse condition. And Job 4 verse 8, even as I have seen, they plow iniquity and sow wickedness and reap the same. You reap what you sow. When you reap sow corn, you reap corn. Or plant corn, you reap corn. When you sow wheat, you reap wheat. And Job says this, even as I've seen, they plow iniquity, sow wickedness, and reap the same. And it's the same with spiritual things. Thank you. Sowing life everlasting. And so, this morning, I want to look at different principles that are in the scriptures that if you sow this, this is what you will reap. So, I'm going to maybe be writing different things on the board here that what the scripture says, if you sow this, this is what you're going to reap. And so, we'll just let the word of God speak for itself. The first one I have here, first of all, I'm going to write corruption over here. And life everlasting over here. And over here is where we want to be. There's different things in the scripture that tell us what life everlasting is. And so we're going to be going back and forth. The first one, the Bible tells us clearly that if you sow pride, you're going to reap this. You're going to reap a fall and shame. Proverbs 16:8 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 11 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. We know the scripture tells us clearly, if there's pride in my life, pride in our hearts, I'm headed for a fall. I'm headed for a shame. You're going to be brought low. You're going to You take King Nebuchadnezzar for an example. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, he was lifting up himself. This is Babylon that I have built. And it says, yet while the word was in his mouth, the Lord came and he cut him down. He was lifted up with pride. And today, is there pride in your life? Do you think highly of yourself? Pride stinks when it's manifesting in a person. Satan got cast out of heaven for having pride. He experienced fall. He experienced shame. He had a high position. And today, what does he have? Nothing but shame. Nothing but a fall. He's doomed for eternity because of pride. And the scripture is very clear that pride, that you will reap a fall. You will reap shame. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We'll put another one over here. The Bible says, if you sow this one, you will reap honor and grace. That's part of life everlasting. I know there's a part, I want to make it clear here this morning, there is a part of when we get to heaven, that is life everlasting, but in order to experience that, we need to experience life everlasting here while we're and the scripture's clear what life everlasting is. It's the attributes of God. Humility is an attribute of life everlasting here in this earth. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Honor shall uphold. So we have humility. You will sow, reap honor and grace. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. So the reaping for humility is honor and the grace of God in your life. Now, you have the grace not to be proud. You have the grace to walk in humility before him. And so that sounds quite the opposite, honor and grace versus fall and shame, right? Nobody likes shame. Nobody likes to fall, right? But God has a recipe in his word. Another one, another corruption is iniquity. Equals vanity. Proverbs 22:8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. And vanity is like a puff. It's nothing. It's full of lies. And if you turn to Hosea chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Lies are empty. Lies are vanity. And iniquity equals vanity. There's nothing there. It's nothing fulfilling about it. There's no peace of God. And it's men trusting in their own ways, it says. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou did trust in thine own way. It's all vanity, and it's going to, if you sow iniquity, that's what you're going to reap. And another one here that under life is walking in the light. I'm just going to put light down here for short. But light equals righteousness. The scripture says in Psalms 97, verse 11, light is sown for the righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. 1 John chapter 1, Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, it's righteousness. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, the reaping is righteousness. It's life everlasting. Another one is envy and strife. Over here, these are just principles that the scriptures teach, that if these are in your life, this is what you'll reap. You will reap confusion and every evil work, it says. Envy and strife. James, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So here we see the opposite. The wisdom that is above is first pure. If you dealing with envy, jealousy, and strife in your heart, this is what you're going to reap. You're going to reap confusion. You're going to reap every evil work. And I think a lot of us, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we've experienced those things. We have. And we have reaped. And so we can learn from our experiences that we have reaped. And another one is right here in verse 18, where we're at here in James, is the fruit of righteousness brings peace. If we have righteousness, then we walk in the light. It brings peace. A lot of these just flow right together. If you have righteousness, if you're in a right standing with God, you have peace. The scripture says in Romans 6:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Over here, there is no peace. There's none. If someone is living in sin, the scripture says they have no peace because they are over here in corruption. Another one over here is lust. This is what the Bible says, that you will reap if you have lust in your heart, that you will reap hell. In Proverbs chapter 5, it's the account of the. I'll just turn there real quick. Proverbs chapter 5. It's the account of the foolish young son. He says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, bound thy ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. And so, if you're dealing with lust in your heart, you shall reap death. You shall reap hell, the Bible says. And, you know, I have seen men who have a lust problem, and their marriages is in shambles. Their marriage is going down, and lust is an awful thing. It'll lead you straight to the pits of hell. That's what you will reap, the Bible says. And so, another one is upright in heart. I think we heard about being how David is upright in heart. That one goes over here. And this is what you will reap, gladness. Psalms 97, verse 11 says, light is sown for righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. Hebrews 1:9, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The Christian, he can have the oil of gladness. He can be anointed with the oil of gladness because being upright in heart is part of having life everlasting here and now. The scripture says in John, I think, he that believeth on the scripture hath everlasting life. We can experience it now. I know some people say, well, what's everlasting about this life? Well, the scripture says if we want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, we need to experience life everlasting now. This is sowing to the Spirit. Another one that goes over here is sin. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have some examples in the scripture. Judas, he sinned. What did he reap? Death. We have example of Ananias and Sapphira. They sowed according to the flesh, and they reaped corruption. They reaped death. And so the scripture is very clear what we will reap. We will reap according to what we sow. Another one over here is righteousness. I have righteousness already. Another one is mercy. I'll just put it over here. You will reap mercy on the day of judgment. If we're in a right standing with God, we'll reap the mercy of God. Another one that's over here, this one comes a little closer home to all of us, the love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, those who are seeking to be rich in this life, says they will fall into temptation and snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from their faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. So this is, if you're chasing after this, the scripture says this is what you're going to be reaping. Many sorrows pierce themselves through. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, the third soil, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. Money has a way of choking out the word of God, and it brings forth no fruit unto perfection. The kingdom of God lacks greatly because of this sowing and reaping. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, we have the account of It says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And I just share here, I don't come back into the community very often, but every time I come back, I marvel at all the buildings that get torn down and new ones built in its place. Perfectly good buildings. The scripture says that's one of the signs of the end times. Perfectly good buildings getting torn down. It says in the last days they shall build, tear down, and build bigger. And you know, it's love of money, many sorrows. Maybe not in this life, but we should be, you know, using our ability to further the kingdom of God. And I just, I marvel at all the new and the big buildings in the community that keep going up and the old ones. I was just talking to someone yesterday, is visiting, and he was saying, we were in an older building, he was just sharing, and people are telling you should tear them down and build something different. And I just marvel, because these things are not life everlasting. And when we're doing that, we're showing we're connected over here. We're showing that we're connected to corruption. Those things are what are controlling us, life everlasting. Another one over here, the Bible says, if we give, giving, we shall receive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about giving and receiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So, I'll read verse 9 and 10. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your own seed, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So the scripture is clear. As we give of our time as assets and into the kingdom of God, God will give back. God will give back abundantly. In John chapter 4, verse 36, Jesus says this, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And so God will supply our needs as we give our lives for the kingdom of God, for the sake of everlasting life. God, we need to just be content with what God has given us, not seeing how much more I can advance my business, how much bigger I can build, but let's see how much more we can, let's use that mindset in the kingdom of God. How much more can I do for the kingdom of God? God wants us to use those principles in the kingdom of God for His sake, because in the end, that's all it's going to matter. That's all it's going to matter. Another one is sharing the Word of God. If we share the Word of God, this is what the Scripture says, we shall reap souls. Souls are what's important to God. Psalms 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. And so That is God's heart. Another one that's over here is division. And this is what the Bible says, you shall reap. Cannot fall, you cannot stand. And I want to look at some of those scriptures there where Jesus talks about that. The first one in Matthew chapter 12. And I just want to, and these are really, this is really important to us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. It's in the context here of all these are the same, Satan, casting out Satan, and Jesus is asking them, how can the devil cast out devils? And Jesus says in verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And what I want to point out here to each one of us, it talks about cities. We look at our nation. We see how our politicians are divided, right? And we realize they cannot stand. But in all three passages, what stood out to me recently, he mentions house. He brings it right down to our home between our husband and wife relationship. House divided shall not stand. And as I've been meditating on that, and you look out in the last 10, 15 years of mighty men of God, who God has used in a real way, and their house has not stood. Their children have gone wayward. And later you hear in life that husband and wife were divided. God says it cannot stand. In Luke it says it shall fall. In Matthew it says it shall not stand. And Mark says cannot stand. And so do we believe God's word that if there's division, your house is going to fall? If husband and wife are not yoked together, and Peter says this, that we should be of the same heart and mind, that our prayers be not hindered. And so as I've done a little bit of just looking at some of that and hearing that their house was divided between husband and wife, then it's no wonder that the children went wayward. Because God is not mocked. We heard about mocking this morning. God is not mocked. It says, if we think that we can be divided as a husband and wife and that our house is going to stand, the scripture says we're deceived. Just like we're going to think we can get red beets from sweet corn pack of seeds. We're deceived. That's what the scripture says. So, in Luke it says the house will fall. In Matthew it says shall not stand. In Mark it says it cannot stand. In each passage Jesus mentions a house. Yes, he mentions kingdoms, he mentions cities, but he brings it down to us as believers, as Christians. A house that is divided, not on the same husband and wife, not being yoked together equally, the house cannot stand. And so we need to take heed to that. So we have looked at different principles here in scriptures, and I'm sure many of you can think of many more that could be up here. But that if you sow this, this is what you'll reap. If you sow this, this is what you're going to reap. And so now I want to go through the scriptures and look at different examples of sowing and reaping, both good and bad. The first one that I want to look at is Jonathan. Jonathan, David's best friend, Saul's son. Jonathan showed David kindness amidst great trials and even running for his life own life, dodging his father's dagger, his own father throwing the dagger at Jonathan, trying to kill him because of his friendship towards David. And he was sitting at his father's dinner table one day, and his father pulls out his dagger and throws it, tries to get him, and Jonathan ran. But what I want to point out to you here is Jonathan sowed kindness and his son Mephibosheth reaped. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" What did Jonathan sow? He sowed kindness, right? "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, 'Art thou Ziba?' And he said, 'Thy servant is he.' And the king said, 'Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet.' And the king said unto him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodibar.' Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, 'Mephibosheth.' And he answered, 'Behold thy servant.' And David said unto him, 'Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually.'" And so here Mephibosheth is reaping from Jonathan's sowing, and he is being blessed. He's reaping a huge blessing. What kind of reaping will our children receive from our sowing? Will my children be able to sit at King Jesus' table continually and eat at his table continually like Mephibosheth was here because of my sowing? Or am I sowing seed that's even going to hinder my children? You know, if we have this in our home, division in our home, we are sowing, our children are going to experience a reaping because of my sowing. And I'm going to show you here another example here. Now let's look at another father's sowing. We looked at Jonathan's sowing. He was a father. And the reaping his children reap. This is King Saul in 2 Samuel chapter 21. We have another reaping. Children are reaping. Starting at verse 5, 21 verse 5, this here, there's a famine came into the land of Israel, and King David here is seeking God. What's this famine for? We need to get it stopped. And this is what God showed him, that I should just start reading verse 1. "Then there was famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. The people are going hungry. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.' And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them," now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. "Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, 'What shall I do for you? Wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?' And the Gibeonites said unto him, 'We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel.' And he said, 'What ye shall say, that will I do for you.' And they answered the king, 'The man that consumed us, that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. Notice verse 7. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Again, Mephibosheth reaped because of his father's sowing. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni, and Mephibosheth, the five sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. So here were seven sons that reaped corruption because of their father's sowing, or that reaped death because of their father's sowing unto corruption. Mephibosheth was spared because his father sowed unto life everlasting. Same family, two different scenarios. So I just want to instill you today that the law of sowing and reaping is just as sure as the law of gravity. It's just as sure as the law of gravity. You're headed for a fall if you reap over here or sow over here, but here's where you want to be. This is the way up, this is the way down. Another example of reaping, Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. And the world today is still reaping because of this sowing, because Abraham listened to a wrong voice. It says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And so God already here had promised Abraham a son. All he'd had to do was stand on the promise of God. In a time of weakness and listening to the wrong voice, he gave in and he listened to a wrong voice. Now jump down to verse 16. Verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, This is Hagar, where she's running away. Return to thy mistress, submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all the brethren. And we all know that this is where, through this relationship, is where Islam came into the world, and the world is still reaping the results of Abraham's sowing. And so, I just want to point out that our sowing brings a reaping. And so there are many voices today, like Abraham was swept off of the promise of God. He already had the promise that he's going to have a son. And we have the promises of God, but many people are being swept off the truth of God's word in our day. It sounds very spiritual, but it's wrong doctrine. It's wrong voices. But the fruit is contrary to the scriptures, and it brings wrong fruit. And it will bring a reaping. last couple times that I came out, I don't know how it happened, but I go to Save-A-Lot to get, it wasn't this time, but the time before and the time before that, I go to Save-A-Lot and the Trump man's there. I don't know how many of you saw his RV, but he comes from a Mennonite background. He's all taken up with Trump, and I ended up talking to him both times for a couple hours, and there's been a progression every time from worse to worse. You know, the Bible says, shall reap corruption, bring to a worse condition. There's been a worsening conditioning every time. I always like to take that time and talk to him, you know. Here's a man who was in our types of churches, but he's headed, he's sowing corruption and headed down the wrong road. And he sounds very spiritual. The things he says, you know, God told his wife recently, take off the head covering. It sounds spiritual, the way he says it, how she's seeking God, fasting and praying, but it's wrong voices. And people are getting swept off their feet, right and left, by listening to wrong voices like Abraham, wrong doctrine. And so I just share that we need to stand on the Word of God. This is what God says will happen. And now I want to also just talk about David, a man after God's own heart. He made a bad choice, and the reaping was awful. He sowed lust. We heard a lot about David's repentance this morning, and I want to point out to you here, just because David repented did not take away the reaping. He reaped, and the reaping was awful. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. He repented. God restored him, but the reaping was awful. His children suffered majorly. You know, God says that the sword's not going to depart from your house. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 1 through 4. It says, well, I'll just pass on that. We all know the story here. He was lusting after Bathsheba, and he committed adultery. We already heard that. But if we jump over to 2 Samuel chapter 12, he committed murder. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10. Here's where Nathan comes to David. It says, now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Notice, the sword shall never depart from your house. His sons were killing each other. He lost four sons. His four sons reaped death because of his sowing. And I just want to point out here, just because there's true repentance is not going to take away the reaping. And we have examples that we could even point to here in our day here of people who supposedly have repenting, and the reaping that they received was not what they expected. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I think it would be very good for each decision or choice that you and I face or desire to do, whether it's a pleasure trip or new truck or your desire, the newest fads or clothing styles, first and stop and think, what am I going to reap from this decision? What am I going to, it's a sowing. You know, you can have your stylish hair and hair all braided, but there's a reaping that's going to come with it. Your children will pick up on it. What is the reaping going to be? Will I be happy with the reaping? Many people are reaping consequences of social media. Families are being destroyed, are making wrong friends. We see the reaping all around us, but do we blindly continue to sow in those things? Do we blindly continue to sow when we see the reapings? Families being destroyed, but just blindly keep sowing. Samson, he sowed lust. Judges chapter 14, he sowed lust. Later, he went into a harlot. Later, he found another woman named Delilah. You would have thought he would have learned his lesson. His reaping was corruption. His eyes were gouged out of his head. And he was a prisoner. He was chained and made to grind meal, I think it was. But you would have thought he would have learned his lesson. His reaping, just think about it. Just because of his lust, imagine having your eyes gouged out of your head, being made blind, the reaping that he received. So he was seeking a wife. So in seeking a wife, it's important that your choice isn't based on lust, but that you are the same faith, vision, goals, or the reaping you will not like. We have, back at home, we have some neighbors. They're ex-Schwarzentrubers, and we've tried ministering to them over the years, but they're separated. I talked to him recently on the phone. He's just lamenting. And he's reaping. And it's awful, because they can't get along. There's division. Job is another good example of keeping his integrity and heart right with God through tremendous loss, losing everything. And the reaping he received from God, God gave twice as much. It's what a reaping. God gave him twice as much. Judas, he sowed covetousness. What did he reap? Death. The rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16, verse 25, they're both reaping. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime receivest the good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Lazarus was reaping the blessing of being comforted, and Lazarus was reaping torment. So you and I, we will also reap throughout eternity. While the ages roll forever and ever and ever, what we sow will determine where we'll spend eternity, heaven or hell. And the reaping will go on throughout eternity, forever and ever. So the principle of sowing and reaping, Romans chapter 8, I'll read verse 1 through 14, talks about life everlasting. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation over here. There's condemnation over here. No condemnation over here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You know, Jesus Christ came into this world. He has given us everything we need to overcome this, that we no longer need to be subject to this, but that we can live by the Spirit and the power of God in life everlasting over here. It says he condemned all this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh over here do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. We're not in the flesh over here. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're no longer debtors to this. For if you live after the flesh, you live after this, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Proverbs 11, verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. So the writer of Proverbs is saying, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. So on my left up here, you have sowing. Here you shall reap corruption. Over here you're sowing to life. On the right, when we're sowing here, we shall reap life everlasting. And so just here in closing, just a couple questions. As you examine or look at your sowing and reaping, are you okay with it? Are you okay with what you see in your life, the reaping that you're reaping? If not, change the sowing. It's not too late. Do you like everything you see that's coming forth from your life? You know, I'm speaking to myself also. You know, if I'm honest, there's things I don't like what I see. And by God's grace, I want to overcome. Do you like everything you see that's coming forth from your family's life? If we don't like it, then we need to examine our sowing. And if it's good, praise the Lord. Keep on sowing and reaping life everlasting. This is life everlasting. So, thank you all for the opportunity to share, and God bless you all as you press on toward the mark and the kingdom of God.